This is Together or Nothing, an Avengers movie-verse fanfic written by Happa Kitsune and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R and contains the pairing Pietro Maximoff, Wanda Maximoff, with additional tags for sibling incest, twincest, Avengers Age of Ultron spoilers, fix-it fic. Author's notes. For Bessie Boo. No beta, because YOLO. This is for you, Bess. I blame you for literally everything. Here is what he knows. He would follow Wanda to the ends of the earth. Here is what she knows. Without him, she is nothing. For as long as Pietro could remember, Wanda had been his to protect. People used to joke about it. Ask for one of the Maximoffs, you get two. Pietro was the funny one. Or at least that's how he liked to think of himself. Wanda was the passionate one. She cared, more than she ought sometimes. She'd get into fights at school, cry at the news, take small presents to the families in their buildings who'd had loved ones killed in the bombings or by snipers. And Pietro, he was the one who held her afterward and made her smile by telling jokes about their neighbors. The day the bombs fell on their family, he remembers diving across the table to get her out of the blast. They rolled beneath the couch, his arms tight around her, pressed so close he could feel her heartbeat. Her hair was in his mouth, her breathing fast and unsteady. Pietro? She asked quietly. I've got you, he said. Her breathing settled, but her heartbeat was like a hummingbird's wing, so fast it sang. Later, he will never be able to explain what those 2 days were like, neither of them daring to move more than just a little for fear that they would disturb the shell. Every shift of the rubble sent shudders down their bodies. He tried to keep up her spirits, tell her stories, sing, but by the end of the first day, he knew they would die there. And at last, he fell silent. He listened to her breathe instead, felt the beat of her heart against his hand, each one a reminder that she was still alive. She was still alive. When they were finally rescued, they were covered in their own filth and unwilling to part from each other, not letting go of each other's hands. At the police station, he sat outside the shower stall while she cleaned herself up. She did the same while he scrubbed the dust and grime off his skin and tried to control his sorrow, his incomprehensible rage. Their parents were dead. Their parents were dead. When he came out of the shower, Wanda was sitting cross-legged on the floor, her hands in her lap, and her gaze very distant. What are we going to do? She asked, voice cracked. Pietro, what if they try to separate us? He crouched down and touched her cheek. I won't let that happen, he said. Together or nothing. Together or nothing, she said, holding out her hand. They shook on it. 10 years old, and he already knew he would die for her. They were 15 when Wanda first heard that someone was recruiting volunteers for an experiment. She told Pietro about it in the bedroom they shared in a cousin's house, curled up against him in bed, with her hands resting against his chest. She told him how she'd heard the whispers, how she had found someone willing to talk, and how they had promised power, unique power, to anyone brave enough to try it. You were thinking about it, Pietro said. She felt his head move against hers, chin touching the top of her forehead. She stared at her hands, small against him, her nails chipped and her fingers raw and calloused. She thought about the protests, How powerless she felt, even as she had yelled, because any minute a bomb could fall and kill them as easily as it had their parents. "I want this world to be a better place," she said. "I don't want our country to have to fear people like Tony Stark." Pietro stroked her hair, then tilted her chin up to kiss her gently on the mouth. In the faint light coming through their window, his eyes gleam. "Then we will see what they are offering," he said. Wanda knotted her hands in his shirt and kissed him back, grateful, always so grateful that she had never had to doubt him, that she could trust him with anything. He pulled her closer to him, slipping his hand between them, inside her sweatpants, to twitch aside her underwear and press his fingers against her. As always, he was gentle with her, asking her quietly what she wanted. The answer never changed. "You," she said, and she slid her hand into his pajamas, watching his face change into that odd expression she could never see enough. They were careful, of course, sound carried in their cousin's house. But Pietro could never quite stop himself from saying her name over and over, a mantra on his lips until she silenced him with another kiss. After, they cleaned themselves up with the ease of long practice. Wanda slipped back to her own bed and lay on her back looking up at the ceiling. In the darkness, she imagined the stars above her, stretching out infinitely. A billion worlds that might be better than here. Across the room from her, Pietro's breathing settled to a steady, even rhythm. She wondered sometimes if things between them would have been different if their parents hadn't died. If perhaps they might have lived as ordinary teenagers. Maybe if they hadn't been forced to rely on each other so early. Or maybe if they hadn't spent 2 days terrified of dying from a Stark Industries bomb. Or maybe if they hadn't needed each other quite so much. But, well, it was pointless speculating. And she suspected that she and Pietro would always have been different. They were never tremendous students in school. Pietro was too easily bored, and Wanda was too eager to argue. "Troublemakers," people said. "Those Maximoff twins were just plain troublemakers." But under von Strucker, they were star pupils. They excelled, not only surviving the first tests, but growing stronger, better. Pietro could feel the need to run building beneath his skin. Wanda, the power that sparked at her fingers, begging to be used. "Yes," breathed von Strucker, the first time Wanda moved a block. He came close to her, close enough that Pietro let out a warning hiss, scowl deepening. Von Strucker ignored him. "Remarkable." In the back of his mind, Wanda's voice whispered, "It's all right, Pietro." He just managed to hide his flinch of surprise, Wanda flicking her gaze to him in warning. "I'm fine." "Did you do this?" he asked her. "Is this part of your abilities?" "I don't think they meant this to happen. Don't tell them. This is for us." Wanda sounded proud. She would, Pietro thought. "Yes," Wanda said in his hand. "I would." They didn't tell Strucker about their newfound ability. Wanda's telekinesis, Pietro's speed, those he could have. Those he gave to them. But this unlooked-for blessing, it was theirs, and they would not have him prod at them to see how they came to such a thing. That night, in their separate cells, Wanda reached out to him, her voice soft in his head as she said, "Pietro, we will get through this. We will have our revenge," he thought back to her. Somehow, he could not say how, It felt like she smiled. The cells beyond them were empty. The other test subjects long gone, fallen to sickness or injury or other fates Pietro didn't care to think on.
And we will rid ourselves of these monsters.
If they are monsters, then what are we? Wanda asked. For that, Pietro had no answer. He thought that if he had known who was doing the asking, who wanted volunteers, they wouldn't have gone. If they hadn't been pushed into utter desperation, if they hadn't been scraping by, and if they hadn't spent 2 days in each other's arms waiting to die, they wouldn't have taken the help of such beasts.
Sleep, dearest, Wanda said.
And he did. The captain thought often of metal and ice and snow. Wanda felt it every time she probed his mind, from the first time in the warehouse to the train, when she cast out her sense to see what he desired. He was no Tony Stark, out to save and protect the world at any cost. She trusted him instantly.
We don't know him, Pietro argued.
We know Ultron will destroy the world, she replied, leaving him no room for further protest. Pietro sighed, breath gusting against her neck. The captain was watching them closely, eyes slightly narrowed.
Can I trust you?
He asked. We have information, Wanda said. We can help.
Why do you want to?
The captain asked. Wanda and Pietro exchanged glances. Pietro nodded and spoke for both of them.
This is our home, he said. All we wanted was to protect our home.
The captain looked thoughtful at that.
I can understand that, he said. If your word is good, well, we could use your abilities.
Wanda did not know if she trusted the captain. She knew she did not trust Tony Stark, or the creature that came out of the cradle. But they shared a common enemy, and that was enough. Battle was not like the drills von Strucker had put them through. It was not even like the tasks they had done for Ultron. It was brutal and unending, and all around her the city she grew up in was crumbling, the people screaming and running, and it was all around her in her head, and Pietro wasn't there. He had always been there, and now he was running faster than she could see. She hated it, with every fiber of her being. But this is what they signed up for. This is what they agreed to. So she pushed out her power and ignored the tug of her brother's mind right up until she felt him fall, her own body jerking with the force of the bullets, and she screamed, losing her grip on her power and falling to her knees, crying out, "Pietro!" He didn't answer. Pietro doesn't remember falling asleep. He remembers Wanda's voice, somehow reaching to him. And he remembers pain, but he feels none of that now. He blinks, eyes watering at the bright lights above him, and a voice says, "Mr. Maximoff?" "The," he says, then corrects himself to,
"Yes."
"Glad to hear your voice," the voice says, and into his vision comes the face of the doctor from Korea, Dr. Cho.
"You've made it through. You gave us a good scare, you know. Your sister especially."
"Wanda," he says, and he tries to sit up.
"Wanda, where is she?"
"Wanda!"
"She's in a training session," Dr. Cho says. "We'll alert her to your status as soon as she..."
"Pietro?"
"She knows,"
Pietro says, and he can't help the smile that spreads over his face when he hears a commotion coming closer.
"Thank you, Doctor."
"She knows," Dr. Cho looks at him curiously.
Do you mean...
The door is open, and Wanda bursts in, hair wild and wearing some strange uniform. Her eyes meet Pietro's, and he beckons her closer. She sprints to his side, throwing herself into his arms, and he laughs, open and loud.
I thought I was the one with super speed, he says into her hair,
and she bites his neck lightly. At night, they return to the room they share, worn from the captain's training and Natasha's more frightening drills for interrogation, for capture, for escape. Pietro undresses her with care, as he always has, like he's afraid she'll break. He kisses every bruise left behind, and she touches every place the bullets pierced, knowing them despite Dr. Cho's genius. They don't bother staying quiet now. Their room is soundproof, and Wanda is greedy to hear Pietro's voice, wanting him to cry out her name when she grinds down on him, her hands pressed to his chest so she can feel his heartbeat. When she comes, her thighs shaking, he turns them over and pushes back into her, slow, patient like he never used to be. You can't leave me like that, she tells him, not trusting her voice to say the words. Not ever. He kisses her neck, her jaw, her cheek. Never again, he promises. It's a rash promise, and they both know it. But Wanda also knows that without him, she won't be long for this world. He kisses her mouth, and she pulls him close, heels pressing into the backs of his thighs. Come for me, she says in his ear. And when he does, he kisses her so hard her lip cracks open where it's chapped. In the morning, there will be more drills and more tests. There will be others to trust and follow. Until then, though, there is this. Wanda, with her head against Pietro's chest so she might hear the beating of his heart, the rhythm of his breaths. And Pietro, with his hand in her hair, whispering, together. Or nothing. The end.